other. And if it feeds the heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Good to have you with us today. I'm Jeff Cavins, and it's always good to spend this time together talking about evangelization, talking about the beauty of the Catholic Church and our walk with Jesus Christ. And I hope you're doing well. You know, on some of the previous shows, we've been talking about walking with Jesus as disciples, not just theologians, not people who are just learning about the Catholic faith, but we're actually walking with Jesus and coming to know his voice, coming to know his heart, and coming to know the heart of the Father, and in the process, becoming whole and really becoming who God created us to be. And I know that is his desire, his will for you, is that you would become the person that he created you to be. But as we're going to talk about on the show today, that doesn't always turn out. Sometimes in our lives, things happen to us, and we are not the people that God called us to be. We're broken. We're wounded. We are people who have had experiences in our life that have set us back, and sometimes others know about it, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes nobody knows what has happened to us in private in our lives, but we know as we look in the mirror, I'm broken, I'm wounded, and I feel defeated. This show's for you today. And we're going to be talking about something very, very important, and that is we're going to be talking about healing the wounds of abuse, healing the wounds that have taken place in your life, whether they are physical abuses, you've been violated, emotional, sexual, or spiritual abuse, if you've suffered degradation in any way. This show is for you today. We're going to be talking in just a little bit with Jeanette Meyer and Marty Meyer, and they are involved in a wonderful, wonderful ministry that is dealing with the healing of the wounds of abuse. And we're going to learn all about that today, and there's going to be an opportunity coming up in August in the Twin Cities for a select number of people to go through a retreat and really address some of the wounds in their lives. You know, I'll just be honest with you, all of us have suffered wounds in our life. And I know in my life, I could go through the list and say, I've suffered wounds in my life, some mild, some maybe not so mild. And in your case, they might be mild in other people's eyes, but in your eyes, it was everything. What happened to you back in high school, or what happened to you when you got off work at nursing school and you were in a parking lot and something happened, and that is something that was very, very traumatic, and it has actually directed your life ever since. I want you to know today with all of my heart, and I mean this today, and I believe that God has given us radio and he's given us communications for things such as this, Jesus has an answer for you. Jesus has healing for you. That is not just pie in the sky. That's not just theological talking. I'm talking about Jesus embracing your heart and bringing wholeness to your life and freeing you from the wounds that have taken place in your life, freeing you from shame that has taken place. You know, I have contended for quite some time now, as I speak to many men's groups around the country, that a lot of men really want to walk in their role and their vocation as a husband and a father. And they want to be the leader in their family, and they want to be examples to their boys and their girls. But as I get to know men more and more, I start to realize that shame locks the door of the heart. And shame keeps people from doing what God has called them to do. Shame keeps them from walking in the power and the freedom that God has brought to us. I'm reminded of what Paul said. You know, he said it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, do not return to a yoke of bondage. So whether you are a man, whether you're a woman, God can heal you. God can free you. As we prepare to talk to our guests today about this healing, Jeanette Meyer and Marty Meyer, I want to remind you what Jesus said one time. You know, he said, He said in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 20, he said that he would not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick till he brings justice to victory. And in your life, have you ever felt like a bruised reed? You know, if you go by the water, you'll see a reed that's bruised. It's bent over. It's not strong. It's bent but not broken. If you look at a smoldering wick, you know, there's just that little glimmer of fire left. It's not a flame, but he doesn't put that smoldering wick out. He can heal that bruised reed. He can stir into a fire once again, that smoldering wick. And if that is something that speaks to your heart, do not leave this broadcast today, because this can be the tool that God uses to touch your heart. You know, all the way through history, starting in the early chapters of Genesis, clear back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, we see that as a result of sin in life in general, we have been hiding from God. And sometimes when we are abused, many times we hide as a result. And once again, we deal with the shame, and we hide and we go into the shadows. Now, remember, after Adam and Eve had sinned in early Genesis, God went looking for them in the cool of the day, and he said, "Where are you?" And I'd like to ask you that question today, too. As a result of what has happened in your life, where are you? Where are you spiritually? Where are you emotionally? Where are you in terms of walking in the power of that vocation that God has given you? Are you hiding? God wants to bring you out of the hiding. He wants to bring you out of the shadow into the light of his dear Son. He wants to bring you out into wholeness. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And by the way, these shows, the Rediscover Hour, is recorded. We play it back a couple times throughout the weekend. So if you find that this particular discussion helps you, then you can share it with other people by guiding them right over to the archspm.org website here in the Archdiocese, the Rediscover Hour, and you can get the rebroadcasts. But I'm asking you, if this is spoken to you in any way, these first few minutes that I'm sharing with you, stay with us, because this might be the opportunity that you have been waiting for, and maybe you didn't even know you were waiting for it, but it's here. And it's an opportunity. So coming up, we're going to be talking with Jeanette and Marty Meyer. We're going to be talking about healing the wounds of abuse, leading into a marvelous retreat for a selected few coming up in the Twin Cities. So you're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we're going to be back in just a couple minutes to talk about that healing in your heart. Rediscover.
October 1st, 2015 will be a normal day on the calendar for most of us. But if you own or manage a business that accepts credit cards for payment, your company becomes liable for fraudulent activity at your point-of-sale card reader. 90% of all data breaches impact small to medium-sized businesses. Chip cards or smart cards make it virtually impossible for thieves to use a counterfeit card at the point of sale. Call Steve Jenkins at My Card Solutions, 763-257-3745, and he can help your business transition to chip card processing. If you have already updated your terminals, My Card Solutions can save you money on your transactions and monthly fees. You may have other questions, so why not call Steve at 763-257-3745? Call today at 763-257-3745. And October 1st will be another normal day for you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Aren't we strong? Aren't we strong? Aren't we bold? But boy, the heart is so tender, isn't it? You know, we can be shattered by something that others would say, "What did that bother you for?" But it shattered our own lives. And if you're one of those people, we've got some good news for you today, and that is that Jesus has come to give us peace. He's come to give us wholeness. And here to talk about this topic of healing the wounds of abuse is Jeanette and Marty Meyer. Now, Jeanette is the executive director of Pregnancy Choices in Apple Valley, and Marty's a life coach consultant who helps others discover what they need to thrive, to be happy, healthy, and motivated. Sounds like there's three good things right there. And so I want to welcome both of you to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's good to have you here. And we're talking about a topic that is very sensitive. And, you know, this is one of the beautiful things about radio is that we're talking to right now to a lot of people who are driving in the car alone, 494, 694, 610, wherever they happen to be. And we can talk directly to their lives. And we're going to talk about healing the wounds of abuse. But by way of introduction, tell us just a little bit about yourselves and how you really came into this marvelous ministry.
Well, I was exposed to it through Rachel's Vineyard because I attended one of those retreats in 2005. And in 2007, there was an international conference about Rachel's Vineyard held by Dr. Teresa Burke. And towards the end of the conference, she announced Grief to Grace. This was their new trauma retreat. And as I listened to her speak, my heart started to well up that there might be more below the surface for me. It wasn't mm-hmm. just about the abortions in my life. And so it was summertime, and September was the retreat, and all the pieces fell together for the application for the money, and I went to Philadelphia, experienced that, and after it was over, I knew that it was the key to unlocking those wounds in my life and for healing. And I came back, and over the next few months, Marty and I discussed it, and I said, what do you think? You want to look into this?
When Jeanette returned, there was something noticeably, tangibly different in her, whole persona. She seemed much more vulnerable and open and free to me. And that was a very deeply moving experience that I had. And upon reflecting upon the work of Rachel's Vineyard and then Grief to Grace, something happened within me that I got in touch with something that I realized for myself was at the root of something that I had been struggling with in my own life mm-hmm. over the years. But something that happened so long ago, but it never occurred to me that it was the issue of abuse.
Mm. And a lot of people deal with this, don't they? You know, I've run into, before coming back to the Catholic Church, I was a pastor for 12 years, and I can't tell you the number of times that I began talking to someone in counseling, and through that process, something came up in their memory, something came up in their life that they honestly had forgotten about or was covered over with an emotional scab, and all of a sudden it came back, and when it came back, it was like that scab had been torn off and this pain suddenly came to the surface. And is that common?
Well, you hide it so deep because of the shame that you mentioned before that when something triggers it, it re-triggers the trauma. Mm-hmm. You're right back in it. So it's important who you share with. And I know over the years I tried to tell my mother or other people about the abuse that was happening and they dismissed me or mm-hmm. they said, no, that couldn't be true. I know him. He would never do anything like that. So you go deeper into this cave and you think it's about you. I caused it. I was 4 years old. I was 9 years old. The different layers of abuse that came in my life and it was, you turn it in on yourself and then you develop a survival technique to cope with the world, cope with your life and it really does kind of cover up your true personality. You operate in other ways, maybe a controlling behavior, or you're going to go out and do crazy things, or maybe it's overperform in all the areas of your life just so you look good,
sure,
so that somebody will accept you.
You're compensating in some way, or you're living by a personal script or a covenant you swore to yourself when you were younger. I'll never do that. I'll never be like fill in the blank.
Yes.
Type of situation. Yes. Or I'll never do that to my children.
Right.
You know, kind of a situation. We're going to be talking about Grief to Grace, which is a ministry that you are in the process of bringing to the Twin Cities here. But when we talk about abuse, people and the wounds of the heart, naturally many of us think about the wounds of abortion mm-hmm. that took place. But what other type of wounds are we talking to for those that are driving around right now saying, well, I didn't have an abortion? What kind of wounds are you talking about in a seminar like this?
There are quite a few varieties of abuse. certainly, I think one of the more important ones is emotional abuse. And then we go into things like neglect or physical, psychological, or sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. It can even happen spiritually. And it comes through verbally. But so many times we take these things and we become isolated because the shame takes over in our life. Even though we're not the one that's perpetrated this, somehow we develop this ownership that these things are there because of something I must have done or something in my character that's defective or flawed. And it just creates a greater isolation. And when you were opening the show, Jeff, talking about being in the shadows, we all obviously tend to stay in the shadows because of sin in our life. But those who suffer abuse stay in the shadow because of shame as well.
Sure. And when somebody experiences abuse, as you mentioned, there's all kinds of abuse. We're talking about physical abuse. We're talking about emotional, sexual, spiritual abuse, or being degradation. It doesn't just let's say that something did happen when you were 12 years old, and you think to yourself, well, that's my problem. That was between me and whoever. And now you're 28 years old, you're 34 years old, you're married and have two kids. It doesn't stay your problem anymore, does it?
Oh, no. It exacerbates when you get into a relationship because you don't have good self-esteem. You don't know about conflict resolution. And maybe God, even if you're a Christian, you might not accept that God is Father, maybe only that Jesus, you can go that way. Mm-hmm. So, and for me, growing up without a father who abandoned us four children, that's a huge form of neglect. And that causes all this wantonness of being lovable. And then psychological abuse and verbal. I had a stepdad who always said, "You're a lousy, no good SOB, and you'll never amount to anything."
Sure.
So I didn't want to accept that. But boy, every time I failed in my relationship, in my marriage, it was like there was that mantra, well, that's who I really am. I'm never going to make it.
Was there something inside of you that said deep down inside, I don't think I am? Or did you just, you bought it hook, line, and sinker?
Well, I think I bought it. It became part of my whole psyche for many years. Mm-hmm. And then as my faith grew, and then I was involved in some prayer groups and different things. I would hear the prayers, or they talk about Jesus, and then I'd see the crucifix or that kind of suffering. It was like, whoa, he might understand. He suffered, and some of that started opening it up to give different words to who I am, not who my stepfather said I was.
One of the most difficult things I would think to determine when you're counseling with a man or a woman, or you're going through a retreat with these various people, is this. You grew up in the suburbs. You know, not everything was perfect, and not everything was perfect in most homes, but you grew up, and then later on in life, you started hearing about the topic of abuse, and you started thinking, well, was I abused? And there seems to be this kind of gray area of, was I abused verbally when I was growing up? Or my father was a little rough with me when he was disciplining me? Is that physical abuse? Or I guess the question I'm getting at is there, how do you discern between, I didn't like what was going on when I was growing up and being disciplined, for example, versus that was abuse? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How do you determine that? And that's because one thing I don't want to do is I don't want everyone driving down 494 right now to say, you know, come to think of it, I didn't like it and it didn't make me feel good when my dad XYZ. Right. And so how do you go through, what's that process about?
For me, it's the anger, the rage. And where I tried to cover that up, I saw it when I was having my own children that—
Your anger and rage?
My rage, mm-hmm, that was suppressed. But not really, because it would eke out. And then, as you know, when children are young, they're very sweet and they're easy. It's easy to be a parent, in my opinion, easier. But as they got older, then they started challenging what I thought or believed, I would yell. I'd start yelling at them. And sometimes I'd be so out of control and I would see them cower or dismiss me and walk away. And it was like, that was the wake-up call for me. There's something else going on here. And it's very sad to see how a parent can emotionally upset a child's life by what hasn't been dealt with in. And I did start going for therapy at that time.
Marty, what would you say in answer to that question of, did I just simply not like the fact that I got disciplined for sneaking out of the house at 2 a.m. versus my dad consistently, or my mom, or my uncle, whoever it might be, fill in the blank, consistently went over a line. And what was that? What is that line that we try to bring people to so that they don't go over and start blaming people that wasn't abuse? That's what I'm really interested in, is that line.
That is such a challenging question to answer, Jeff, because of our own tendencies. Mm-hmm. I never liked being held to accountability in any way, shape, or form. That was my issue. My parents' issue of what is the most effective, loving way to get to my child, to impress upon him the importance of what it is that you're trying to do. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a perfect parent out there, mm-hmm. and that we're all wondering, am I doing the right thing? And upon reflection upon my own life, I see, well, you know, I had my part to play in this, but I also see the deficiencies that my own parents had. And going through the healing process and becoming aware of just what occurred, and almost like stepping back from it and viewing it from a distance, you can see the patterns. You can see the own brokenness in your own parents. And today, I truly loved my parents, but I also saw that they were lacking in their own ways.
Sure.
And they were suffering. So there's
brokenness,
a certain,
begets brokenness.
Yes. And we're all broken. You go back to Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. It started at the very beginning. And we all struggle through what's the right thing to do as parents. So I'm less judgmental of my parents, obviously, mm-hmm. having gone through life and its experiences and the challenges and knowing the difficulties and frustrations and doubts and everything, you know, across the spectrum.
Oftentimes when I teach, I bring up questions, you know, particularly for men, and I'll bring up a question and they'll say, you know, that's me. But I didn't know how to put it into a question, you know? But once you ask me that question, now I suddenly realize that is my question, or that is my problem. If I went through a little bit of a list here, maybe you could give a couple of maybe examples of what would be abuse in these areas, like the person who suffers degradation. What would be a couple of practical, I don't know, practical, but a couple real life, you know, type of examples of somebody that might have experienced this sense of degradation? It'd be the way you look, or?
Well, there's an awful lot of shaming that comes, degradation, when you're being sized up as a woman, as a young girl, the way guys shout out at you when you're walking down the street. I mean, it immediately attacks your physical being, so that's a spiral that goes down, mm-hmm. or whatever the magazines were when I was growing up. It's looking at this and it's like, oh, I could never be like that, or I'm ugly.
Right.
That was pretty common. I mean, it is on one hand for everybody because we're always comparing at that age group. But then when it goes on that I can't go to this party or I can't go to this event because I'm not acceptable.
Right. Any ideas, Marty, for men?
I think having your dirty laundry hung out for everybody else to see, mm-hmm. being ridiculed or corrected in a public kind of forum.
Sure.
I think guys, it's very natural for us to just go for the jugular many mm-hmm. times for right. people's weaknesses. And
what about physical abuse?
For me, it was being whipped with the belt. If I didn't have the work done when my mom got home from work, she pulled out her belt, and mm-hmm. there was always a beating. So that, you know, you always have to meet high expectations or you'll be punished.
You say a beating. You didn't say a spanking. You said a beating.
No.
So it went over some kind of line where this is not a discipline that's taking place here. This is a beating.
No, I failed. Uh-huh. I didn't show up the way I was supposed to. Therefore, you are punished.
What about emotional abuse? Long silence there.
That has so many tentacles, I think, because it can be, you're not going to amount to much. You're not going to be able to do this or to do that, rather than being in the balcony cheering you on. Yeah.
These are declarations to the very core of who you are.
Yes.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah. Yes.
Who do you think you are?
And as a child, you're trying to figure out who you are.
Right.
And you take that from your parents. It's gold. Mm-hmm. And so however it is that they deliver the message, it's so formative and so critical.
And then sexual abuse is probably the most obvious. You know, that a person who has gone through sexual abuse, whether it be at the hands of a relative or a neighbor, a sibling, these are violations of who you are. The degradation and the emotional abuse seem to be a violation of who you are inside. The sexual abuse also attacks that, but it also involves the physical being.
Well, it's not only the abuse, it's the abusers and how they groom you. Mm-hmm. And you can be a child, adolescent, even a teenager, and a young adult, and they make something look pretty, or they make it sound like you really matter. And then how they move in through all those different doors to manipulate you for their use. And it's so confusing, because any of the reading you do on abuse, there's an attraction. If you have no attention from your parents and your uncle or your grandpa starts to give it to you, well, you think, wow, I really mean something. And so you walk into that relationship, and maybe they never sexually touch you, but they have all the innuendos, and you're trying to be there, be performing for that, so that you will matter, you will have a place. And
well, I want to, we're going to take a break here. We're talking with Jeanette and Marty Meyer about the Grief to Grace Healing the Wounds of Abuse retreat that's coming up, and the Grief to Grace ministry that is now being launched in the Twin Cities, or it's in the process of being launched right now. And one of the questions I want to ask the two of you on the other side of the break, a little bit later here, is, you know, we've been talking about those who have been abused, and on the other side of the break, we want to talk about what's the process now of becoming whole in our lives, because it's not going to be solved in the next 20 minutes, I know that, but we can at least throw a lifesaver out and say, you know, that people are finding wholeness in their life after they have been abused. But I'm also thinking about the person that's listening to some of the descriptions that you just gave, Marty and Jeanette, and saying to themselves, you know, I wonder if I did that to my children. I wonder if I was an abuser, and I've never thought of myself as an abuser. What do I do? It's kind of like Alcoholics Anonymous, and then they have Al-Anon for the, you know, that's both sides of it here. So I want to talk about that and what the seminar is all about. Stay with us, my friends. Stay with us. We're talking with Jeanette Meyer and Marty Meyer all about becoming whole and the healing of the wounds. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back talking about these wonderful, wonderful graces of the Lord right after this.
Discover. Honey, remember that summer vacation in Lost Falls?
When I got that rash.
No, that was the Dude Ranch.
Oh, yeah, with the swarm of bees.
No, that was the summer before.
Looking for a fun, unforgettable vacation destination? This summer, visit Mall of America. Start at Nickelodeon Universe. 28 amazing rides, including the zip line soaring 55 feet over the park, and our newest Bubble Guppy themed ride, open in July. Pet a live stingray at the brand new Meet the Rays exhibit at Sea Life Minnesota Aquarium. Shop new stores like L.L. Bean, Kate Spade, Fjall Raven, Under Armour, and BCBG Max Azria. Get your game on with bowling at Skydeck Sports Grill and Lanes, or mini golf at Moose Mountain Adventure Golf. There's 520 stores, 50 restaurants, and the new Hard Rock Cafe. And our summer celebrity lineup rocks. Check website for specific event dates. And stay at Radisson Blue Mall of America, the only hotel connected to the mall, with instant access to everything. Your kids will love the indoor swimming pool.
Now that sounds memorable.
Not funny. Your summer vacation memories begin at Mall of America. Visit mallofamerica.com.
Better story, oh, shine with light, that's first.
This is the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, talking about healing those deep, deep wounds. Talking with Jeanette and Marty Meyer about how to go about that. You know, in our own lives, you know, I was just thinking about this over the break, Marty and Jeanette, that I remember when I was in sixth grade, a little self-disclosure here. When I was in sixth grade, I had the most traumatic thing that I think could have happened to a kid, with shame, and there was no abuse necessarily, but the tremendous wound. I guess there was abuse, and it came at the hands and the mouths of my fellow students in sixth grade. When I was growing up, I had a problem wetting the bed. Now, you probably listening didn't think you're going to hear that today, did you? But I had a problem. I did this really well every night, you know, all the way to eighth grade. And one day, I was in the middle of an auditorium and listening to a speaker, and I raised my hand. I had to go to the bathroom, and they came out. The teacher said, "You can wait a few more minutes," you know, and I couldn't. And there it went, right there in the middle of the auditorium. And my light brown Levi corduroy pants were now two tones. And everyone got up and went out, standing outside the hall, and I'm sitting still. And I got up, and all of a sudden, I walked towards the crowd, and you could hear them yelling, "Cavins wet his pants." And I ran through a gauntlet of two rows in the hall, people tripping me, hitting me on the back, laughing, went right out the front door in the winter and ran about a mile and a half home, crying. Well, you know, I think sixth grade, you know, big deal, sixth grade, big deal. But then I was about 35 years old as a pastor, and I thought, I'm going to tell this story in my sermon. And I started to tell the story, and I locked up. I could not even say a word. And I felt so choked up, and I realized afterwards, there's a wound there. That's a wound. And I need to bring this to Christ. And I did, and I found tremendous healing there. But it was like a boil under the surface for years that I didn't even know was there until suddenly I tried to speak it. And I think that is one of the things that people realize, is that when they start talking about it, perhaps that dam that keeps back the emotions just breaks. And suddenly we realize we're in a river of pain here. We're in a river of pain. So that's my story.
Powerful.
It was a very powerful story. So we're going to talk about healing, and you're bringing grief to grace, this healing of the wounds, a seminar to the Twin Cities and the ministry. Talk to us a little bit about healing the abuse that's taken place in our lives, the wounds.
Well, I think you said it, Jeff, you know, the secret that lies within, and when you discover a safe place to start talking, things start coming out. It doesn't hold a cloud over you like it did before. And this is what happens in the retreat. It is not a place where you tell your whole story. This whole story is too terrible to bear. Mm-hmm. But whatever the Holy Spirit brings up for you that you want to process through the exercises, that's where you focus. And actually, all your feelings are tied into that. It isn't just one feeling. But the... to be able to say what happened, to have someone listening who's really empathic, and then to know that you're not alone. Boy, that was really the biggest thing, is like, I'm not the only one who's experienced this, and to be among people who look at me and think, wow, you're really a good person, and there's that group dynamic that starts to acknowledge the pain. Witnesses, as you get the rage out, there's an exercise in the process where what's been stored down there from 5 years to 50, 60 years comes out in a safe environment. And then there's the victory of knowing that rage doesn't have to stay down there anymore. The freedom comes. And then your heart is open to see Jesus in a new way, because he was there. I didn't know he was there. I thought I was forgotten by God, but he saw it all. And he was weeping. He had sacrificed for that very thing.
I've seen this before, and it sometimes is quite dramatic.
Yes.
When pain, that river begins to flow. Marty?
Yes, absolutely, Jeff. I would have to say that what happened for me is, once this secret came out and I was actually able to talk about it and share, the empathy really kicked in with others. In the retreat process. The other thing, too, is that I saw myself on the cross with Jesus in my own wounds. Mm-hmm. And that was where I discovered the power.
Yep.
That he was right there with me. He said, I know what you are going through, and I have suffered it myself. Surrender it all to me. I will heal it. I will make you new, and you will have hope and courage to move forward.
And this is one of the great things, the great teachings that the church passes on to us, is what do we do with our pain? I remember talking with Dr. Damgard Hansen, a friend of yours, years ago on Morning Air here on Relevant Radio. And I asked him a question. I said, what do you see as the big problem? He says, with that beautiful Dutch accent of his, he said, we don't know what to do, with our pain, with our suffering. And so we internalize it, and it comes out all kinds of weird ways that are dysfunctional. And I'm reminded of what Archbishop Fulton Sheen said that relates to suffering here, because abuse is suffering. Yes. What do you do with it? You don't talk it away. You don't just say, be gone, but you really have to do something with it. And it was Archbishop Fulton Sheen said that one of the reasons we fear death so much is because we don't practice for it. In other words, we don't die daily to ourselves. But the beautiful teaching of the church is what Paul said in Colossians 1:24. He says, I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and I fill up in my body that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. And the question came up with St. John Paul II, what could be lacking in the sufferings of Christ? And St. Augustine asked the same thing, and the answer was nothing. But God gives us an opportunity in our suffering to join it with him, and then it becomes redemptive, and we can actually apply this. Mm-hmm. And then that a beautiful thing to think that somebody could come to your retreat broken and wounded and hurt and leave with perhaps some heavenly cash to spend on others and even on the abuser themselves.
Yes.
What a beautiful story.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks for describing
that. I'm just thinking of what you do. Well, talk to us a little bit more about the process in a seminar like this. What would people go through in a seminar? And by the way, Teresa Burke, Dr. Burke's going to be with you, right?
She will.
Yes.
From Rachel's Vineyard. What a great lady.
Yes. She is. And Father Dominic Alleyne, who is from London, he's a pastoral director of the program. A really great guy, too. Yes. Oh, gosh.
So, for example, is there at the beginning a sort of a vetting of what is my wound, finding that wound, and then the process of bringing it to Christ?
Well, you have to look at what is a child of God. That's where it starts out. So you look at who you see yourself as a child. And there are different exercises where, you draw a picture and you might be adding some other things to it later on. It's a sequence of to really understand who you were created to be, what happened to you, and then to take that into deeper psychological understanding. So every exercise is designed just to actually open up the right brain, which is where you access trauma. And it's done with scripture and with music and in ways that you relax into it. It's not like you want to run away. Or if you feel like you run away, there's somebody to talk with you. So you can keep coming back to the process, because we've run away so many times back to the shadows that this is bringing us back, gently bringing us back, just to see it, to hear it. And then we start leaning into each other. We become cheerleaders for one another when we're discovering another piece. Oh, my gosh, I didn't know that. And that group dynamic just becomes a new family.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and what happens in the beginning is everyone is tentative, but one person will step out and have the courage to be the first one. And when that happens, all of a sudden, everybody else...
They have permission now.
Have permission.
Yep.
And they have a freedom. And because they know it's safe, they can respond. And they can show empathy and compassion and all of the things that we need for healing. What they find is that they become part of the healing process, too, because they are there for you.
One of the fears that people have, Marty and Jeanette, is that if they open up, let's say they go to a retreat, let's say there's 10 people there, 20 people, who I don't know how many, but their fear might be similar to going to confession. Those that don't know about the seal of confession know that a priest does not leave the confessional talking to other priests about what he heard today at the office, that type of thing. Is your retreat kind of along the lines of what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Very much so, Jeff. But that dynamic that you bring up about confession, I don't think there's a one of us that doesn't feel a certain amount of shame walking into that confessional. Mm-hmm. And that, in fact, is probably the driving force that prevents most of us from going when we should. Mm-hmm. But we postpone it and postpone it. And just like in dealing with abuse, we delay it because it's painful. It's a negative experience in our whole psyche and emotions. But we come to a point of understanding it's okay that I'm broken. It's okay that I'm suffering. It's okay that these things have happened to me, knowing that getting them out, it's like opening that wound and getting the poison out. And the healing process begins.
Which is rebuilding the temple. Mm-hmm. That's part of the process, yes, too, is how do you rebuild the temple? How do you go back into your life and handle this? And then that confidentiality, it's total confidentiality. After the retreat is over, there's a closed e-group. So all of the facilitating team, all of the people that were on the retreat have this secret place where they can go and talk about the things that they're facing, sure, now and that type of thing.
And speaking of secret place, when we talk about the seminar that's coming up Sunday, August 23rd through Friday, August 28th, I love your response. I said, well, where's it going to be at? And you said, I'm not telling. And I'm thinking, well, what do you mean you're not telling? I'm the host. You know, what do you mean you're not going to tell me where the retreat is? But it's by design, isn't it?
That's, yes, right.
And the process, you won't tell people where, yeah, that retreat is because it's a private retreat. This isn't for the public.
No.
This isn't,
yes,
for even extended family members or anybody else. This is for you.
And it's a thoughtful process because there's an application that's many pages long. It takes a couple of months to fill that out, send it in, and then the people in Philadelphia, they review this, the therapist, they know what they're, you know, are you really ready?
Yep.
You might want to do this, but are you ready to do it?
When you say it takes a couple months to figure it out, are we talking about a whole ream of paper here? Are we talking about
maybe 10, 15 pages?
Or are you talking about a process to go through? Because the one coming up is August 23rd.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
We don't have several months before then.
No, actually, that retreat is full.
Oh, it is.
Yes,
it's full. That
through, right.
Yeah. So we're going to be looking at those of us that are listening now to the show might be looking at the next retreat,
right,
in the future,
which,
yes,
will be October 2016. But it seems that God is stirring this work in to be available more.
Well, then
often.
Let's focus our attention for a moment on Grief to Grace, the ministry in general. You're looking at bringing it to the Twin Cities.
Yes.
And where are you at in that process now? And when it's here, what's that going to look like as a ministry within the Twin Cities?
Well, we're under the direction and supervision of Dr. Teresa Burke and her team, and we have to put on 3 retreats here under that supervision. And then she decides if this team is solid and strong to continue it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're setting up a nonprofit. It is a lay ministry outreach, so that's our next step.
So you're in the...
Yes.
When do you think this is going to be finished?
You mean the training?
No, the process of bringing the ministry here to the Twin Cities.
Well, if we were to just look at it on a practical yearly schedule, we would have to have put on 3 retreats to get the go-ahead,
mm-hmm,
as long as everything works out together. Just to back up a little bit, the process of bringing the retreat here started about 3 years ago. Prayerfully, we just felt that this was an important work, and so we were seeking God's wisdom and whether or not it was His intention to bring this here. And part of that required us to start developing a team and to prayerfully consider who might be an appropriate person to join this work.
So someone listening right now may actually be called to work with you and doesn't even know it.
No.
That's right.
They have to go to the retreat. They have to do their own work, and then they have to attend other retreats as trainees.
Right.
So there is a process.
Right, right.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But what you said
is
true.
Yeah, not just
true.
Suggesting they join the team.
You got
to get the cub, the lion, and the bear badge first.
Okay. Right. But it is very true. People out here listening, hearing it for the first time, God may be speaking to
right,
them.
Right, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
And Grief to Grace International very much wants to have a center here. They've only picked probably about 5 to 6 cities in the United States. There's one in British Columbia and in London. There may be one in Australia. These things are but it won't be in every city, and it's not something that will spread the way Rachel's Vineyard did. It's a different...
Well, let me ask you a question that we were talking about during the break. And, you know, we talk about the victims of abuse, but then there are those that are listening right now that would say, I'm not sure I have been abused, but by listening, I'm afraid maybe I did abuse. Mm-hmm. What kind of word of encouragement would you have for those who suddenly come to the realization that maybe I have been the abuser?
In my case, it was going to confession. I found a priest that I could talk to. And then Dr. Peter Damgaard Hansen talked to me about, as I reviewed with our children what I'd done, he'd say, always come back with love. And you might need some support to figure out how to do that. But it is love that heals. So I would bring up a situation or ask one of my kids, how did that affect you? Mm. And then they would really tell me, and I would feel so sad that I wasn't there for them, and we could have that conversation.
Does it get better?
Yes.
It does.
Joy returns. And then some of the things that were so painful before, we can laugh about now in a way that, look at where we've come. And we have a great time together. Mm-hmm.
So when someone goes through a retreat, it's not all done at the retreat. This is a process.
Yes, definitely. There is a process on the front end that gets people to the point to where they realize, I think this is right for me. And then they go on to that next step. And then the discernment process about attending the retreat. And then after that, aftercare. I don't like to use the word aftercare, because coming out of the retreat, the gift is that God restores us, and we don't see ourselves as victims any longer.
Right. You know, Teresa Burke brings this out in some of her work, in that the person that is abused, whether it be sexually abused or physically, emotionally, or suffered great degradation in one way or another, that does not define the person. And I think a lot of people need to know that they can be freed from that old definition of who I am and begin to see themselves in new light as a child of God, as a beautiful daughter of God that was abused, yes, but not destroyed, you know, not like a reed bent but not broken. And that God can restore you. And that's the good news here, isn't it? Is that deep down inside, you are a beautiful woman of God and a wonderful, handsome man of God, you know? And that God loves you just the way you are. He loves you so much, He won't allow you to stay the way you are. He wants you healed.
And that staying there is being stuck, because there is a payoff to be staying angry.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you something that you want to hold on to. You know it. You're familiar with it. But once you step across that, all the things you just said becomes your heritage.
And so let's give people the information here. If people want to know more about what you're doing with Grief to Grace, Healing the Wounds of Abuse, you give them the email or the information you like to, so they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Locally, you can email Diane, D-I-A-N-E, at grieftograce.org. Or you can go to the international website, grieftograce.org, and just read through what they have on site there.
Okay, so that's Diane at grieftograce.org.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys will get back in touch with them one way or another.
Yes.
But I want to thank you for sharing this beautiful ministry with us. And we look forward to seeing how it grows in the Twin Cities, because you know as well as I, there's a lot of hurt people, a lot of woundedness, even in our own lives. And it's a beautiful thing that you're bringing this balm of Gilead to hurting people. So stay in touch.
We will.
We will.
We look forward to that. Jeanette and Marty Meyer, Look forward to great things from their ministry coming up. Grief to Grace, Healing the Wounds of Abuse. And, you know, when you talk about anger and we talk about abuse, you know, if you feel that way in your life, some people feel very much, you know, this anger rising up inside of them. You know, that's one of the passions. Catechism tells us that anger is one of the passions, and the passions are neutral. They're neither good nor bad, but they can be fed in a bad way by vice, and they can be fed in a good way by virtue. But if you are suddenly angry, it isn't just to tell you you're angry or Irish or anything else. It literally is a flag that an injustice has been done. And that is a flag for you to do something about it. And one of the best things you can do for yourself is to get into a retreat like this, to get help and stop hiding in the shadows and burying that wound. Anger itself is not bad, but anger might be saying something to you today that an injustice has taken place when I was younger or whatever it might be, and that it's time to bring about justice. And you deserve it. God created you to walk in wholeness and walk in the light. And Paul, that's one of the ministries that's taking place in the Twin Cities, one among many. We're going to take a break, and with Paul and I are going to be back. We're going to tell you some great things happening in the Twin Cities. This is the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover. Coordinated Business Systems.
Customers first, always.
Coordinated Business Systems presents Coordinated President Jim Arricchio and Minnesota Twins great Dan Gladden.
Jim, batter up. What's next?
Coordinated's unified communications. It unifies voice systems, data communication networks, mobile devices, and video conferencing.
Wow, very impressive, Jim.
Yep, it's a better, more flexible, and lower cost way for companies to collaborate and communicate.
Unified communications. Coordinated deserves a curtain call.
Like you, Dan, hitting a grand slam in the 87 World Series. How did that feel?
Wow, Jim, that was a blast.
Blast, I get it.
Coordinated Business Systems, scalable communications management systems for organizations with 5 to 1,000 employees. To learn more, visit coordinated.com. That's coordinated.com. Visit us today.
Customers first, always.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. The Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis is a busy, busy place. Paul, lots of good things happening.
Well, for one, married and engaged couples, the Couple to Couple League invites you to a series of classes on natural family planning at Holy Family Church in St. Louis Park. New materials integrate Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body. Classes begin Tuesday, August 18th at 7 p.m. Register at ccli.org. That's ccli.org.
Are you looking for a healing? A special healing mass will take place this coming Thursday, August 20th at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata with Father Michael Becker as celebrant. Rosary at 6:30 p.m., healing mass at 7. Again, that's at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata.
The Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture invites women and men to a workshop on Pope St. John Paul II's Letter to Families, Saturday, August 22nd, 9 a.m. to noon in McNeely Hall at the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. Come for fascinating presentations on the family in preparation for the Synod on the Family this fall. This event is free. Seating is limited. Register by visiting stthomas.edu/Siena Symposium or go to the Archdiocesan website, archspm.org.
Hey, men of the Archdiocese, you're invited to an evening of fellowship, spiritual reflection, and a really great meal. Deacon Joseph Mihalik will lead a Catholic man night at the Church of St. Joseph in West St. Paul on Tuesday, August 25th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. For more information, visit CatholicManNight.com. That's CatholicManNight.com.
This Sunday, August 16th, St. Hubert's in Chanhassen invites you to join them for their 82nd annual Famous Chicken Dinner, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. as they celebrate their 150th anniversaries. Shuttles will run continuously from St. Hubert's to the historic church and back for tours throughout the dinner. For more details, go to sthubert.org. That's sthubert.org.
And there's going to be a very special Healing the Family Seminar, August 21st, 7 p.m., Church of St. Paul with Dr. Teresa Burke.
And have you ever considered reaching out to prison inmates with the good news of the gospel? If so, come to an informational workshop for prison ministry, September 12th, 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Church of the Risen Savior in Burnsville. You'll have the chance to hear several speakers and talk with others engaged in prison ministry over lunch. For details on this important outreach, co-sponsored by the Church of St. Joseph in Rosemount, go to stjosephcommunity.org, select the Pastoral Care tab. Again, that's stjosephcommunity.org.
And St. Thomas the Apostle Parish Festival is also this Sunday, August 16th, 11 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at St. Thomas the Apostle Church in Corcoran. Come for fun games and the best turkey dinner around. Call the parish office for more information at 763-420-2385.
Great show, Jeff. We're back in 2 weeks.
We are. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And, you know, we encourage people to pray for all of us here at the Rediscover Hour. Pray that God will use the show to reach out to people and share the gospel and bring about healing, as we talked about today, because that's what we've been called to do here in the Twin Cities. Do not lose hope. God is doing some amazing things in the Twin Cities, and I'm going to encourage you today to get up, follow Jesus. He wants you to be a disciple. He has things to tell you. He has things to talk to you about and things for you to do. So we'll look forward to seeing you again on the next Rediscover Hour right here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.